Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. I'm excited about the message today. There are four what we call Christological passages in the New Testament. One of them is in Philippians 2, another one's in Hebrews chapter 1, another one's in John chapter 1. But this morning we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. And while you're finding that, let me just kind of introduce the message this morning. Colossians chapter 1. I tell you what, we need to read the scripture first. Let's all stand as we honor God's word. And I'm going to back up to verse 13. I just can't skip these other two verses. We're going to be dealing with verses 15 through 20. But what a powerful passage of scripture this is. Colossians 1 verse 13. He has delivered us. Say amen.
Amen.
From the power of darkness. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? Father, help us to unpack Your Word this morning. God, help us to give an explanation and an application of these powerful words that You wrote so many years ago through the Apostle Paul. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you, I'm just asking now, okay? How many of you remember the old 1980s tune, He's Still the One? Y'all remember that song? Man, it's a good one. And the chorus goes something like this. You're still the one, and I wouldn't switch. You're still the one that can scratch my itch. We're still having fun, and you're still the one. I've come to tell the church today, Jesus Christ is not only still the one, He's the one and only. And there's a lot of folks today in our society that's saying that Jesus is just one among many. There's multiple ways to heaven. There's all kinds of religions that'll get you to the same place. What I call a supermarket of religions. And whatever religion works for you, well then that's the religion you ought to have. And all these religions claim to get you squeaky clean, like you going down the aisle where all the soap is and all those bars of soap claim to get you squeaky clean. Well, all of these religions today claim to do just that. This is exactly the type of thing that was going on in Colossae. People were saying that Jesus is just one of many gods, and that there was multiple ways to have a relationship with God, and there was all kinds of ways to get to where you wanted to go. But through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul was used by God to write to the church in Colossae to tell them that, hey, Jesus is not just a prominent person. He's the preeminent Prince of Peace. Amen. And he's not just one among many. He's the one and only, and he's still the one. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, he's still the one.
He's still the one.
Y'all are alive this morning. Praise God. Now, I want to give you several preaching points, if that's okay today. And here's the first one. This scripture tells us a lot of things, but at least several major points. And here's the first one I want us to dwell on. He's Lord, the Lord Jesus, is Lord over creation. He's Lord over creation. Now, look at verse 15 again. It says that he is the image of the invisible God. Now, that word image means exact representation. In other words, Jesus is God. Jesus is the exact representation of who God is. Jesus was God spilling himself out in human flesh. Jesus is... You want to know what God looks like? Take a look at Jesus. You want to know what God sounds like? Listen to Jesus. You want to know what God's up to? Follow Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And there's never been anyone quite like him. Now, look at the, if you don't believe that, look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now jump over to chapter 2 and verse 9, that answers that question. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is God. And because he's God, he was able to create the universe. I like how Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 describes Jesus. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the express image. And that word image over there in Hebrews chapter 1 is the Greek word icon. Now, y'all all know what an icon is, right? Hello? Have y'all been on a computer screen lately? Or looked at your laptop or your iPhone? Those little images, what are those? Icons. For instance, when you click on that Google icon, you get everything that's available in google.com. Well, what Scripture's telling us this morning is, bless God, when you click on Jesus, you get everything that's available in God.com. Oh, that's good preaching. Let me say it again. When you click on Jesus, you get everything that's available in God.com. Even David Athey's going to smile. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Tell your neighbor. There's a lot of folks that would have trouble with that today. But that's okay. They can have trouble all the way to the bank. Amen? Jesus is God. Now, this God has created the universe. Now, what is the firstborn over all creation in verse 15? The firstborn over, let me unpack that. Does that mean that Jesus Christ was the first created being? Absolutely not. Jesus is God. He became a man. He wasn't created. Jesus has always been God, is God, and always will be God. What that phrase means is simply this. He's talking about he is superior in position and rank. And because of that, he was able to create the universe. How many of you remember Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, what did he do in the beginning? What did he create? Let's all say that together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God created the heavens and the earth? He created you. Have mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, boy, God did a good job. Well, about half of us have lied up in here today. God created the universe. And by the way, in the beginning, God, isn't that a great way to start a life? In the beginning, God, isn't that a great way to start a Bible? Isn't that a great way to start a family?
only in the beginning God. And by the way, that's the only way to start a universe, in the beginning God. While I'm on it, let me just say this. Do you know what evolution is? Evolution is simply man's attempt to explain creation outside of the existence of a thrice holy God as creator. That's all that is. All that fluff and puff, all that is man's wicked expression and attempt at explaining everything that we see outside of a great, almighty, powerful God. The Big Bang Theory, we've forgotten. Theory means we don't know if it's true or not. I want to tell you what. There will be a big bang. It didn't happen at the beginning of time, but it will happen at the end of time. Are y'all with me today? All right. So God created the universe. And I don't know about all that, but I do know this. Scientists have told us, and I can't hardly wrap my mind around this, but it tells you how big the universe is. That there are more stars in the heavens, in the galaxies, than there are grains of sand on the sea. Now here's what I do know. Did you know there's 320 different kinds of hummingbirds? Can you believe that, David? 320 different kinds of hummingbirds. We've got insects that sleep for 17 years. Cheetahs that run for speeds of up to 70 miles an hour. Seals that can dive at depths of 1,500 feet, Shep, and stay there for 45 minutes. We've got eight-armed octopuses. Can you imagine having eight arms? We've got falcons that swoop down on their prey at 175 miles an hour. And I want to tell you what, if you're looking at it, Jesus created it. He created it all. And He created you. Did you know that there's enough information in one molecule of your DNA to fill up 600 books of 1,000 pages each? It's kind of like a wave. It's kind of sweeping room. Isn't that amazing? In other words, there's enough information in one little molecule of your DNA to tell you how long an index finger of yours is going to be, how small or how big your feet are going to be, what color your eyes are going to be, what color your hair is going to be, how tall you're going to be, what your IQ is going to be like, and on and on and on and on. Jesus Christ, when He created the universe and you and me, He took care of all the details. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. He created the universe. You know, I just remembered this. Several years ago, do y'all remember Washington spending $100 million to find intelligent life on another planet? Y'all remember that? We would have been much better off if we'd have spent $100 million trying to find intelligent life here. I'm so thankful that God created the universe and His name is Jesus. But He not only created the universe, according to verse 15 and 16, He sustains the universe. Look at verse 17. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. In Him all things consist. Jesus is the glue that's holding the galaxy together. You know, by all indications, an atom ought to just fall apart. Y'all remember biology? No, I don't remember biology. Well, you got a proton and a neutron, then you got electrons, you know, spin. By all indications, an atom ought to just fall apart. Do you know who's holding the atom together? Jesus is. And one of these days, He's going to let that atom fall all apart. And this old world's going to fall apart. That's kind of the Big Bang thing I was talking about at the end of time. And Jesus is so good. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And the new heaven and the new earth is going to be so good, we're going to forget about the old heaven and the old earth. Jesus Christ is holding everything together. He looks at the sun this morning and He says, "You come out and shine when I tell you to." He'll tell the moon when to come out and hang out tonight. And He tells those stars, you shine when I tell you to. Listen, He's the one who's sustaining the universe. Shout amen today. Amen. We've got a great Savior. We've got a great Lord. I just want to talk about Him today. Is that all right? And then thirdly, He not only creates the universe and sustains the universe, He gives purpose to the universe. Purpose. Look at verse 15, excuse me, 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him. Now get this, and for Him. Did you know you were created for a purpose? God created you to glorify Him. God created you for a purpose. And I want to tell you what, life will never make sense until you enter into a relationship with Jesus. I said life will not make sense until you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a little boy, summer vacation, he was giving his mama fits. Can any of you girls testify? I mean, she couldn't get anything done. He was up underneath her feet. I mean, he was bothering her all. I mean, summer vacation had been terrible. Because she couldn't do anything. She couldn't get her work done because this 8-year-old boy of hers was just driving her nuts. She came up with a real bright idea. She went down to the Dollar General store and bought her a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And she took the jigsaw puzzle and said, Johnny, we're going to go upstairs and I'm going to put this jigsaw puzzle on the table and I want you to put this puzzle together. And she dumped it out on this table in his bedroom and she said, don't you come out of this room until you put this 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle together. And he said, okay, Mama. And so she thought she's done with him for the next week, right? Well, in 20 minutes, he's right back downstairs in the kitchen. And he's bothering. She said, Johnny, I thought I told you to go upstairs and put that puzzle together. He said, I did, Mama. She said, if you're lying to me, you're going to get it, son. And they marched up the stairs, and sure enough, there it was. Every piece of that puzzle was in place. And she was amazed. She said, Johnny, how'd you do that? And he turned the back of the puzzle, of the box over, and he said, Mama, do you see this man? This man is on the back of the puzzle. And when you get the man right, you get the puzzle right. When you get Jesus right where He needs to be in your life, He will put the pieces of your puzzle together and your life will make more than just good sense. You'll have purpose. You'll have meaning. You'll have fulfillment. Amen. Jesus is Lord over creation. Yes. Yes. There's more here though. Are y'all ready? Come on. Three of you. Y'all ready? Yes. Man, this is fantastic stuff here, y'all. Yes. Now, how many of y'all been in the Bible this week? Great. Well, all of you are in here right now. All right, look at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church. Say, that's us. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Jesus is head over the church. He's Lord over the church. And it's high time the church figured out who's in charge. Jesus governs the church. He's the resurrected head of the body. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's alive this morning, right? And He's the one who governs the church. He's the one that tells us what to do. How many of y'all like to be told what to do? Come on now. Not many of us. But you know what? God knows best. And so we listen to Him and we do what He tells us to do. And, you know, Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body. And if you cut the head off, if you separate the head from the body, what happens to the body? The body dies. And so Jesus is in charge and at large at Second Mile Church. He governs the church. Let me put it like this. The church is not a monarchy by the pastor. I thought surely somebody would jump up and shout glory. The church is not an oligarchy ruled by the deacons. And the church is not even a democracy ruled by the people. Well, Baptist church needs to hear that today. The church is a Christocracy ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in charge here. And Second Mile, as long as He's in charge, we'll be all right. It's time the church began to figure out who governs the church. But He not only governs the church, He guides the church. That's what He's talking about there in verse 18. In all things that He may have preeminence. Jesus is the leader of the church. He gives us direction. He tells us what to do, where to go, how to do it, when to do it. He guides the church. There was a pastor search committee a few years ago that were looking for a pastor, and they wanted to get a pastor that would stay with them, because the last two guys that they had lasted less than 18 months. They weren't there long enough to lead and to give the church any direction. You know, it takes a few years to lead a church. And so they thought, well, we're not going to call a pastor that's not willing to stay with us. And so they started interviewing, you know, pastor search prospective pastors. And so they finally sat down with this older fella, and they said, now, are you going to be willing to stay with us? The last two men we've had were here less than 18 months, and we're looking for somebody who will stay with us, who will love us and lead us and do what needs to be done here. And the pastor said, well, I'm your man. They said, why? He said, the last two churches I've pastored, I have stayed with them till they died. I've got a great question for us today. If Jesus is alive, how can the church be dead? How can the church be dead? I want to tell you, when you get Jesus where He needs to be in every church, guess what will come to life? Everything and everybody. Singing will come to life. Well, y'all did a great job this morning. Fantastic. Even the preaching will come to life. The praying will come to life. The giving will come to life. The testifying will come to life. I was looking out at our park. Mike Boyce, I was so proud of y'all last week. Did y'all remember last Sunday we had a monsoon out here? And our parking lot attendees were running around like Olympic runners with those umbrellas, with a smile on their face, helping folks get in and out of their cars. And I thought, and I was looking at them and watching them right here, you know, because I wasn't going to go out and get wet because I'll melt, you know. And so I was watching, and I mean, every one of them were filled by the Spirit of God. They had the joy of Jesus. Where does that come from? It comes from Him. Everything will come to life when you get Jesus where He's supposed to be. He's Lord over the church. Say that with me. He's Lord over the church. He governs the church and He guides the church. Here's the best one. He's Lord over the cross. He's Lord over the cross. Look at verse 20. And by Him, to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. He's Lord over the cross. And by the way, it was His cross. His cross. That's what it says there. Wasn't Mohammed's cross, wasn't Buddha's cross, wasn't Confucius' cross, wasn't Joseph Smith's cross, wasn't Mary Baker Eddy's cross. It was His cross. And I want you to think about the price that He paid. They beat Him. They abused Him. They plucked out His beard. They punctured His skull with a crown of thorns. They hit Him in the face with their fist and their open hands, open palm. Then they whipped Him with a cat of nine tails. 39 times. And His abdomen and back were ripped open. Flesh falling off the bone. And then they put Him up there on the cross and they put a railroad spike, what amounts to that, through his feet. And then they put some huge nails through the right there at the bottom of His hand and through His wrist. And He hung there between heaven and earth. Do you see Him suffering physically? Do You see his lungs heaving? His rib cage bulging, moving up and down on that cross so he can breathe. Do you smell the blood pooling up around the foot of the cross? Oh, he suffered tremendously physically. And he suffered emotionally. Do you know Jesus was crucified stark naked? The shame of the cross. Oh, and all those folks, his enemies walking by, well, if you're really God, come on down from the cross. If you're really who you say you are, save yourself. And you know what? He could have anytime he wanted to. But he suffered emotionally. And by the way, everybody but a small crowd of women and John ran off and left him. He suffered emotionally. But here's the worst thing. He suffered spiritually. The Bible says Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours, but about half that time it grew dark. You know why that is? Because the Father, for the first time in all of eternity, turned his back on the Son and walked away from him. Jesus died all by himself. Why? Because why did the Father, why were they separated? Because of our sin. The Father couldn't look upon the Son because he had all of our sin on himself. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, there was the price he paid. But bless God, look at the peace that he made. Did you see that word reconcile? Do you know what that word means? It means to bring together. Two parties in opposition, to bring them together. How did he do that? Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. Verse 21, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Jesus Christ made the peace between God and man. Amen. There's a little boy whose mom and dad were going through a divorce. True story. And this little boy fell terminally ill. And he lasted about a month. And early one morning, the doctors, his mom and dad were out in the waiting room asleep. The nurses called his mom and dad and said, if you want to pay your last respects, your little boy is about to die. And this broken-hearted mama went in, and broken-hearted dad went in. And that mom went to one side of the bed, and that boy's daddy went to the other side of the bed. And you know what that little dying boy did? He grabbed the hand of his mama and the hand of his daddy and joined the two of them together. And in that little boy's death, his parents reconciled. That's exactly what Jesus did. With an outraged heaven, he took the holy hand of God and the hand of sinful humanity and made the peace for all who would surrender to him. He's still the one. He's the one and only. Do you know him? Father, I thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. But God, my heart is touched by the Lord Jesus this morning and all that he did for us. Oh God, thank you. Believe in my heart of hearts that it is your desire that you'd be Lord over our lives today. And Lord, to do that, we've got to be willing to surrender all. And right now, in every seat, in every chair in this building, I pray that people all over the room would surrender their heart and life wholeheartedly to Christ. Most of you here today are probably believers. But some of you believers have strayed away from God. You're not where you need to be. You know it, and God knows it. And God put you in that seat today to make the peace between you and him. and you need revival in your heart and life today. You need to come back to the Lord. And some of you are here this morning, and you've never known the Lord. You've not been in a true saving relationship with God. Well, my Bible tells me if you'd be willing to admit your sin, just agree with God about your sin, that's what the word confess means, and be willing to receive what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, and receive that free gift by faith of salvation, by surrendering to Him, just calling on His name to save you, you can be saved right where you sit today. Just right where you sit. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, you do business with the Lord today. If you need revival, ask God to revive your spirit. And repent. If you're not saved today, call on God to save you. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from you. Lord, I don't want to be separated anymore. I want to be forgiven. I believe Jesus died for all my sin. By faith, I receive what Christ did for me on that cross many years ago. And I surrender everything that I am to everything that you are. Thank you for saving me this morning. If you prayed that way, you really meant business with God, the Bible says you must take a stand for the Lord Jesus. You have to take a stand for Him. He died for you publicly and rose again, and He's coming again for you publicly. But you've got to take your stand for Christ today. If you prayed and were saved sitting in that chair today, you know that you meant business with God, I want you to just stand to your feet. If you prayed to receive Christ this morning, just stand up right where you are. Just stand wherever you are. Just stand up. God will help you. The same one who saved you will give you the strength to do what you need to do here today. Just stand right up. Take your stand forward. The Bible says that you'll confess Him before men, He'll confess you before His Heavenly Father. Anybody here? We're going to sing an invitational hymn now. It's not too late. This altar is always open for repentance. You need somebody to pray with you. We'll be up front to pray for you. Ask God to meet your need for revival, whatever it is. Father, move in this time. Now, this is the most important time of the service. Help us not to get distracted or out of focus, but God, that we might take our stand for Christ today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.